Have you ever expected to receive an invitation to something and that invitation just never came? Has there ever been a time when you thought you'd be included with others for something, but later on discovered that you had been left out? Now, some of you may have heard this story before, but I think there's enough of you here that haven't, and so I want to say it again. It goes back to my first day of junior high in BC. It was grade 8. And I grew up in a small town, and I don't remember getting rides to school from mom and dad very often. And I decided that for first day of grade 8, there was absolutely no way I was going to get a ride to school because that just wasn't cool. So I decided that I was going to go with some friends. Now, I was nervous about going on that first day. A little grade 8 amongst a whole bunch of grade 10ers there, and so quite nervous. But what was going to make it better was just the fact that I was there with friends, and even better was the fact that I was going to go with my best friend. I'd been with best friends with a boy from grade 2 to 7. And we were quite close. And now we had been, as a family, we'd been away for quite a bit of the summer. And I hadn't seen my friend recently, but I decided on the first day of school to phone him up and say, just invite him to drop by the house on his way, and then we could go to school together. So I did that, and I can still remember his response. He said, "I'm going to be going with my other friends." Now, for a 12-year-old boy, that was like getting hit by a ton of bricks. It hadn't even crossed my mind that I wouldn't be invited. You know, I find myself at Christmas time, I find myself reflecting on the Christmas story. I think about Mary and Joseph and the journey that they made to Bethlehem. Something I also do is I spend some time kind of imagining beyond the story, beyond the actual text that we have. I try to imagine what things might have been like for Mary and Joseph even before they got the news from the angel that they were going to have a child. From what I understand, family was pretty important to people back then. I mean, it's important to people today. But back then, it was really important because people didn't have the access that we have to communication. And so people really leaned on one another back then, even more so than they do today, particularly leaning on the extended family. Now, we may stay connected through phone calls, through video chats, through social media. For people back then, with there being none of that, they really had to rely on physical presence. And they emphasized the nurturing of the extended family relationship. People knew who they were related to. Even amongst the distant relatives, they knew who they were related to. The very fact that they were related meant something quite important. People would welcome others into their homes. People would do what they could to offer you some support if ever you needed some kind of support. I think for Mary and Joseph, life in Nazareth would have been quite social. People would try to connect with one another. If you needed something, you'd ask. Relationships were vitally important. Sometimes those relationships really helped you out in those times when you were having a pretty bad day. Now, as I imagine life for Mary and Joseph prior to the angel, I imagine them leaning a lot on family. And I imagine the community being there to support them. And I suspect that there was great celebration the day when it was announced that Mary and Joseph were engaged. Now, probably those who were closest to the family, they saw it coming. But maybe there were some others for whom it was news to them. But it was great news. Cause for real celebration. And as word traveled amongst the extended family in places outside of Nazareth, I think there would have been quite a bit of excitement. And yet, isn't it interesting how we heard in Luke's Jesus story this evening where Mary and Joseph's baby was born? Luke told us that when Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to deliver her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. You know, in the past, I've always kind of taken those words in stride. I've always assumed, well, of course there wouldn't have been any room in Bethlehem. After all, there was a census going on. All men had to register in their hometowns. The hometowns of their ancestors, that's where they had to register. Joseph came from the house of David. David came from Bethlehem. And so Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem. And there would have been other people traveling as well. Other people who had come from Bethlehem who had to go back to Bethlehem to register. So, of course, accommodation would have been hard to find. But let's linger there just a little longer, because I think we need to ask a question. And the question is this: why were Mary and Joseph trying to find accommodation at an inn anyway? Where were Joseph's relatives when Mary and Joseph arrived? Why was it that Mary and Joseph felt they had to resort to public accommodation? What was going on with the rest of the family? If Joseph was from Bethlehem, then very likely he still had extended family living there. Why weren't Mary and Joseph going to stay with them? You want to know why I think it was? Because they hadn't received an invitation. And think about this. If all males had to register in the hometown of their ancestors, what about Joseph's other relatives who had moved away from Bethlehem as well? They too would have been traveling back to Bethlehem to register. As I've thought about the Christmas story over the years, I've always assumed that Mary and Joseph were likely pretty well on their own when they got to Bethlehem, not knowing anybody else there. But Bethlehem was a pretty small town. I'm not so sure that would have been possible. I think people would have known that Mary and Joseph were coming. I think there might have even been some relatives who might have been traveling along the road with them. But while the other relatives might have received invitations to stay with family, when they finally made it to Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph, they hadn't received such an invitation. Why do you think that was? You know, there are scholars who think that Mary and Joseph may well have been shunned by family at this point. After all, their relationship, and more importantly and more particularly, the news of an early pregnancy would certainly have raised a few eyebrows. I wonder whether, as they made their way to Bethlehem, and they spoke to others who were making their way also, it struck Mary and Joseph as being strange in any way that so many of them had been invited to stay with their families, while with each step, Joseph and Mary knew they had received no such invitation from theirs. And so upon arrival, they had to try to find some other alternative. So they started to make their way to some of the local establishments. And at place after place after place, they get the very same response. Sir, you can't stay here. We just don't have any more room. Finally, after they tried them all, they turned around from that last one. And all the hope they had once had, it just seemed to just disappear. Until somebody shouted after them. It's not much, but if you want, you can go around to the back. And so they do, and there they find a stable. There's animals inside. It's a bit chaotic. There certainly isn't much room, but it's offered to them. And so they go in. And they settle inside, and it's in that place where their child, the one who'd received no invitation, is born. And you know how the story continues, don't you? Luke tells us that there were shepherds out in the Bethlehem fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now shepherds, they did a noble job, but they really weren't looked upon very highly by the general public. And yet, isn't it interesting that they were the first ones to receive an invitation to see the child who was born in Bethlehem? And even though there was really no room in the stable, as people came to see the baby, they kept on making more room. And never did the stable ever seem too overcrowded. Never did the stable seem to run out of room. You know, there are some people who think, why would God make his earthly entrance in a lowly stable? Why not some place of more significance? Why not some place more lofty? Why not some place more holy? Why settle on a stable? And yet, when you really think about it, what better place than a stable? I've never been invited into a palace before. I have received an invitation to step into a stable. And isn't that the whole point? That as the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us, that as God came to meet us where we are, that there wouldn't be anybody who wouldn't feel welcome. There wouldn't be anybody for whom God was beyond their reach. I mean, wasn't that one of the main points in the message from the angels to the shepherds? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. There was nobody for whom this gift was not sent. There was nobody to whom the invitation wasn't extended. While relatives and others may have gone out of their way to ensure an invitation wasn't offered to Mary and Joseph, it all fit in with the ultimate plan of God. So God could make an entrance into the world in the most humblest of places, so that the most humblest of people wouldn't feel out of place, but instead would feel most welcome. While it might have broken the hearts of Mary and Joseph, knowing that people had turned their backs on them, God was declaring to the people of the world that never would God's back be turned on them. With the birth of a tiny little baby, God was saying to all humanity, "To me, you're invited. You are invited home." And isn't that what we see lived out in the life of Jesus? As Jesus grew older and he embarked on his ministry, isn't that what we see? We see one who constantly issued generous invitations. Invitations to people to whom the world treated as outcasts. Despite the experience of Mary and Joseph when they traveled to Bethlehem for the census, despite their experience of doors being closed and no invitations being received, the Christmas story is in itself one full of invitation. Mary is invited to carry the Christ child into the world. Elizabeth, her cousin, is invited to offer Mary sanctuary. Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, is invited to prophesy and sing. John the Baptist, their son, is invited to speak to the crowds, inviting them to turn their hearts towards God. Shepherds are invited to go to a stable. Magi are invited to travel to meet a new king. The story of Christmas is one of great invitation. Because of Christmas, the doors are wide open to you and to me. In Jesus, God is saying, "You are invited home with me this Christmas. There's never a time when you're not welcome. There's never a time when my door will be closed. Never a time when my arms will not be open wide for you." Christmas reminds us of the open invitation of Jesus. Christmas reminds us of the place that really is home. Home is where God is, where God's love is extending far and wide. And as we've been invited home, so are we called to invite others home. We're invited to open up our doors, to extend invitations so those who have experienced doors being closed before them and backs turned against them, they might come to know God's amazing grace. If a stable can be a holy place, then surely our homes can be holy places also. So can we be holy people. People who keep on making room for others. Who keep on making sure that doors are never closed. May we allow God's invitation to sink deep, deep into us this evening. May we reflect on the implication of what it means to be invited by God to come home. And may our lives and our hearts become places where God's heart can be found, that others might see in us that in Jesus, they too are invited home. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that in you, the invitation is always open. You never turn your back on us. You never look away. But your arms are open wide. Lord, this evening we want to take a step towards those open arms. And Lord, we want that to be part of us as well. That we might be people of open invitation, that we might be people who extend your love and your grace to others. Help us to do that this day and always. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.